From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns begins the ninth message in a series of studies entitled Life in the Spirit, an examination of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where the Apostle Paul sets forth the nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has explained, these various virtues divide themselves into three groups of three. The third group consists of faith, meekness, and temperance, virtues which involve the believer's relationship with himself. In dealing with faith, Dr. Cairns first takes time to formulate a definition of faith as it occurs in this context. There is some disagreement among commentators as to the precise meaning of faith here. As we'll see, the term applies to a Christian's initial coming to Christ as Savior, as well as to his trustworthy character before others. In regard to the salvation experience itself, we learn that the Holy Spirit enables sinners to believe the gospel. Dr. Cairns will come shortly with the message. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Mountains Turned to Plains. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. At this hour a mountain of difficulty, distress, or necessity may be in our way, and natural reason sees no path over it, or through it, or round it. Let faith come in, and straightway the mountain disappears and becomes a plain. But faith must first hear the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This grand truth is a prime necessity for meeting the insurmountable trials of life. I see that I can do nothing, and all reliance on man is vanity, not by might. I see that no visible means can be relied on, but the force is in the invisible Spirit. God alone must work, and men and means must be nothing accounted of. If it be so that the Almighty God takes up the concerns of His people, then great mountains are nothing. He can remove worlds as boys toss balls about or drive them with their foot. This power He can lend to me. If the Lord bids me move an Alp, I can do it through His name. It may be a great mountain, but even before my feebleness it shall become a plain, for the Lord hath said it. What can I be afraid of with God on my side?
Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sleep for you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. Be not afraid, for I am redeeming you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sleep for you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. in my sight. My love for you is everlasting. My love for you shall have no end. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Today we continue with the studies in Galatians chapter 5 on the fruit of the Spirit. We come to the first of the final trio of virtues that are there mentioned. The end of verse 22, we read, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And today, we look at this statement, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Commentators are almost unanimous that the word faith here does not mean trust in God, in Christ, or in the gospel. They all admit that that is the usual and simple meaning of the word, but they point out that there are other places where the same word has a different force. It means trustworthiness, it means faithfulness, or even honesty. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, for example, Paul asks the question, "What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And the idea there is, shall their untrustworthiness, their lack of trust, shall that make God's faithfulness of no effect? Shall it make God and His Word untrustworthy? Again, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, we're given some instructions for the people of God. We're told that they should not be purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity. The word is faith. And of course, we clearly recognize that use of the word. We talk about dealing with people in good faith. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. Showing all good fidelity. Showing all good faith. The idea is honesty, trustworthiness, and faithfulness. So that the commentators are just about almost, I would say, unanimous in saying that's what Paul means here. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, integrity, honesty, trustworthiness. I have to say, however, that I'm not really convinced that the arguments they advance in favor of that interpretation are altogether conclusive. They tell us that faith cannot be the meaning here because, in its proper theological sense, it's the basis of all these virtues, and once you say faith, you've said everything. It doesn't really hold a lot of water, that argument. Because right at the top of the list, we are told the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Scripture is adamant that love is the foundation of all the virtues. That if you love, you fulfill the whole law. So in a sense, love encompasses everything here. In fact, I know one writer who, in dealing with these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, takes the fruit of the Spirit as love, and then all the others as love operating in a particular way. Joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring, or love and its patience. And so on right down the nine. He takes it that it's love is the controlling feature. There's a lot to be said for that. But certainly if that's true, and I think it is, it shows us that the word faith could be used in its proper theological meaning, even though it's an all-encompassing word, just as love is. But then others point out that if faith were the meaning, it would be way up at the top of the list. It's now in a very lowly position, and its position, not the place of prominence, could not be given it if Paul really intended us to think of faith and trust in the Lord. Again, the placement impose its choice not to the inferiority of the Word, but to the apostles' structure. You remember how I pointed out there are three threes in the nine aspects of the fruit. And the first three, and there is overlapping here, but the first three emphasize our virtues Godward. And then the second three emphasize virtue outward or manward. And then the third three emphasize virtues inward, the more internal controlling factors, the things that would really control both your attitude to God and your attitude to man. And once you recognize that structure, you will see that at the beginning of each three there is a controlling word. Love controls the next two, joy and peace. Long-suffering controls the gentleness or the kindness and the goodness. And faith controls the meekness and the temperance. So that the placement here is very carefully chosen and for very good reason. As I have considered this verse, I must say that I'm inclined to give the word its full scope of meaning. Now, I realize that when I do this, I am breaking what some people believe to be a divinely inspired canon of interpretation. But believe me, it's not divinely inspired. There is a genuine idea in interpretation, and it's usually right, that a text or a term has a single meaning. Well, that's true. In fact, I would say, you'd have to say that's always true. But within that meaning, there can be, like in a rainbow, a variety of coloration. And I think that's what you've got here. I say I'm breaking the canon of interpretation because I think when the Holy Ghost deliberately uses a term that has more than one idea in it, He means us to look at all the ideas. I believe that when he uses a term that in its context makes perfect sense with one meaning of the word and equally good in scriptural sense with another meaning of the word, he does that deliberately. In other words, if the Spirit of God had wanted us to be shut up to one particular idea, he was quite able to choose a word that would convey that idea and nothing else. When he chooses this word in this way, I think he intends us to give the full meaning of the word to this word, faith. What this is saying is, fundamentally, is that a believer is a man of faith. And I think when you look at the Word and the fruit of the Spirit as being faith, you can say that the Holy Ghost makes believers trusting. And then remember the second meaning of the Word. He makes them trustworthy. And those two things go together. The Holy Spirit makes believers trusting and trustworthy. Now let me be as simple as I possibly can be. First of all, he makes his people a trusting people. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, the Spirit is specifically called the Spirit of faith. And that's a very appropriate spirit, or title for the Spirit. He enables his people, first and foremost, to believe to the saving of their souls. Saving faith is the direct result of the operation of the Holy Spirit upon souls that otherwise would be dead. Saving faith is not some inherent power that resides in the free will of man. Man's free will is freedom to sin. Jesus spoke of it in what we read this morning in John chapter 5 and verse 40. Here is the free will of man. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. That is a statement that gives you an insight into the will of fallen man. There is not a desire for God in that will, according to God's own terms. Oh, there is a desire for a God. There is a desire for a religion. There is a desire for something to stultify or satisfy conscience. But the desire for God, as he's revealed in Jesus Christ, is foreign to the free and fallen will of man. So therefore, faith is the result of the Spirit's operation. Flesh and blood can't even discover the gospel. You remember when Simon Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," or "son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Flesh and blood cannot discover the truth about God. You know, that's a very sweeping statement, but it's a very easily proved statement. The greatest philosophers who have ever lived were the ancient Greek philosophers. Of all those philosophers, Plato and Aristotle are the two greatest. And they're still studied in some universities to this very day. They have cast a long shadow over the whole of Western civilization. In fact, even over the Church of Christ. When I was doing teaching church history, I thought it would be interesting, at least in one part of the course, to see how, roughly speaking, the first half of church history is taken up with the church trying to equate the gospel with Platonic philosophy. The next half was the church trying to equate the gospel with Aristotle's philosophy, and each as unsuccessful as the other. Because when you get into what those men discovered, and they were brilliant men, and I have no doubt sincere men, and according to worldly lights, good men, but the God they come up with was an idol, far removed from the God of the Bible. Now, if that's true of the greatest philosophical brains that the world has ever seen, you can see how easy it is to prove, and you can do this on a case-by-case basis by going all over the world. No man, by the light of nature, has ever discovered the God of truth. And no man, by the light of nature, or by native intelligence, or by earthly education, has ever discovered the light of the gospel. This comes from God. In John 16, verse 14, Jesus specifically said of the Holy Spirit, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." So flesh and blood can't discover the gospel. And when the gospel is made known unto it, flesh and blood cannot respond to that gospel believingly. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.